Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are some of the challenges and joys of being an optometrist? Let's go in-depth with Dr. Rachel Brown with iHealth Solutions. So Dr. Rachel, where are you from?
Pella. I went to Pella Community High School there and then grew up, born and raised in Pella. And my husband was also from Pella and then did undergraduate schooling at Iowa State University. I went to the Illinois College of Optometry in Chicago.
And why did you want to become an optometrist?
That's a good question. So I actually did not have any eye trouble growing up. I never actually wore glasses or had any correction. So it was a little bit later in life that I kind of determined what I wanted to do. And it was probably as a college student at Iowa State, you know, trying different classes, figuring out what you like and don't like. And then it wasn't until probably I shadowed my local optometrist that it kind of clicked for me. I remember him saying, you know, majority of patients are going to leave your office feeling better than when they came in. And so I thought that would be really rewarding and I wanted to be a part of that.
Is there a special part of it that you like? You like working with kids or looking for diseases?
Mm-hmm. All of the above. You know, I love that no day is the same. No patient is the same. No two patients are the same. There's a lot of variety in what we treat and evaluate with the eye. I love interacting with people, you know, again, young, old. And so it just gives you a lot of opportunity for that.
So Every day is different, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people like that. And every person is different. How do you approach working with patients, somebody you've never met before? How do you go about interacting?
So first, you know, I try and get to know them, and what they do is a big, you know, important part of it. You know, finding out what their visual demands are and their visual needs. You know, are they on a computer a lot of their day? Are they a mechanic, you know, looking up underneath a vehicle all day? And that kind of helps me understand, you know, what they're using their eyes or how they're using their eyes. You know, as the exam goes on, obviously I like to chat and get to know them more personally, you know, family members and interests and hobbies that they like to do. So I generally just kind of approach it. How are you doing? Are you having any changes? You know, and again, get to know what they're using their eyes for. And then obviously check the health of the eyes, make sure things are stable. And then again, try and bring it in on a personal level, get to know them a little bit more personal at the end. So
why is it important to get to know them personally?
Just to develop relationships in the community. And you know, I enjoy running into the people, you know, at grocery stores, my patients at grocery stores, and seeing them and their families at church on the weekend. You know, I think it's just makes a nice connection to the community.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Rachel Brown with iHealth Solutions. And why did you choose to come work at iHealth Solutions?
Oh, that's a good question. So, you know, first and foremost, I would say their values align with my values. They have a very loyal patient base, a very happy patient base, because they really, you know, take care of their patients well. You know, after practicing in both private practice and corporate optometry, I value private practice a lot. And, you know, operating a private practice anymore has, you know, more challenges today than ever before. And I really appreciate how they try to remain at the forefront of their profession, you know, whether that's incorporating the latest technology, you know, offering the best services and products for their patients. I think they do that very well. So that was an appeal.
And Doctors Lily and Jason
mm-hmm.
Mostyn.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they're friends of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great people.
Well, and it's something that came out of, I think, you know, just getting to know them in the community. And so it's, to me, having lived in big cities before, it means a lot to go to people that you know mm-hmm. and know about you and your mm-hmm. family. Mm-hmm. And that's good small town stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
So do they teach you how to work with people. I know that they teach you the mechanics of the eye and all the diseases and all that stuff mm-hmm. you have to do, the technology part of it. Mm-hmm. Do they teach you to master the interpersonal skills?
No, I think that's, and I think that's, you know, what they're trying to weed out as candidates when you're applying to any professional schooling, I think, is, you know, that's something that can't be taught. You know, my dad was a dentist and had a practice in Pella. And he always, you know, said you can be a really good student and a really good doctor, but you might be a crappy person, you know, and he had a dental student that was maybe at the bottom of the class, but he was a really, you know, great person and was good at what he did there. So I think that, yeah, that's part of something that can't be taught. And I think that's something obviously we're always working on, you know, ourselves, but yeah, I think that's really, really important in any doctor patient relationship.
And working with kids, how do you do that? I've often wondered mm-hmm. how. That's sort of hard, isn't it?
You know, it's gotten easier the more, you know, now that I have my own kids, you know, learning how to be around them and talk to them and approach them. And obviously every kid is different, but, you know, just trying to find some common ground with them and even, you know, sometimes getting to their level if they're terrified sitting in that big, you know, that big black chair, you know, just lifting them up so they're at eye level with you. And just, again, trying to find a connection, what interests them. And because a lot of times they're really excited or they're really terrified or, you know, there's all different situations. But a lot of it is, you know, and even real young patients, you know, they may not be able to know their alphabet. And so we've got different ways to kind of check their vision. And you know, I depend on a lot of what I do, you know, objectively that doesn't require their subjective responses. So a lot of that is you got to work quick. You got to work fast, you know, you got to be friendly and just really, like I said, get down to their level and try and connect with them and their parents and family.
More in depth after this.
Continued my conversation with Dr. Rachel Brown with Eye Health Solutions. One of my favorite parts about going to the eye doctor is it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Like so many other things.
That puff of air. I have a friend who's a physician, and she made the comment to me one time. She would rather go to the dentist than the optometrist because of that. Mm-hmm. That puff of air is deathly afraid of that puff of air. So anymore, there's different techniques, you know, different ways to obtain that same measurement than the puff of air. But that puff is threatening for a lot of people.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
But generally, it's pain-free, yeah.
I'm just always staring at the little white house
yeah,
barn
yeah,
and
yeah.
Don't even notice.
Yeah.
So is there a standard procedure for conducting an eye exam? There's steps 1 through 8 or whatever?
I mean, there are. Obviously, you want to, you know, review their medications and their systemic conditions and things like that. And then, you know, certainly checking for the prescription, seeing what their vision is, checking the front and the back of the eye. So there's certainly different steps to an exam. I think every clinician does it differently, you know, maybe out of different orders. And there's probably some variability there, but generally there's the similar steps to an eye exam.
And there's always this sort of ritualized conversation that happens at the beginning and then at the end, reinforcing the social relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I try not to get so much in robot mode but there are some things that, you know, you learn how to master typing and talking and making medical decisions in your head at the same time. So.
And what's the hardest part of your job?
Oh, I would say, you know, being the bearer of bad news, you know, thankfully I've not had to do a lot of that over the 9 years so far, but, especially after you've grown to know a patient, you know, if you've got some bad news or a certain condition has progressed, you know, that's never fun to be the one to deliver that. And you know, especially young patients, you know, these are, if you know it's going to be something that's life-threatening and or sight-threatening and it's going to be really, you know, change the rest of their life, that can be a big burden to bear. But that would probably be the worst thing, I would say. Yeah, I would say, yeah, bearing bad news and delivering the bad news would probably be the worst part. But there's not too many downsides.
Well, but then they know you, they mm-hmm. appreciate your skills and your mm-hmm. compassion. They know that you're there to help guide them through those troubled mm-hmm. times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, just try and tell them as much information as you can, and you know, take their questions as best you can. But then also, you know, not trying to overstep too. You know, there's, we only know what we know, and not trying to give false hope, or, you know, let a specialist, like a retinal specialist or somebody like that, you know, give them more information. So.
And what's the best part of your job?
Best part would be, you know, just, yeah, changing people's lives and having that patient that this is the first time they're going to see, you know, the fine details on the leaves, you know, of trees and things like that. And just, yeah, being a, you know, troubleshooting and being a problem solver, you know, that I just think that keeps things interesting. And really, you know, the, you only have two eyeballs, and there's so much more to the eye and vision and sight than what you can read on an eye chart. So it's really cool to me that you can see, you know, the eyes are the only way you can see into the body and see those little blood vessels that can give you, you know, indications of early diabetes or blood pressure, or, you know, those systemic things without being invasive. I just think that's really neat.
Is it sort of like being a detective?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes more so than others, but, you know, just like with any physician, I feel like, you know, you're trying to figure out what is causing their chief complaint or what might even lead to complaints down the road.
One of the things that I think would be hard for me would be keeping up, not so much with advances in the medical side mm-hmm. of it, but the technology seems pretty daunting to me. Is it?
You know, I think they're always certainly coming out with new instruments, but I think relatively they're similar. You know, one might do one more thing than the other. And especially when you don't, you know, since they've come out since school, you don't necessarily have training on that. That can be more daunting, is trying to learn, you know, and then actually implementing it and using it in practice, I think, is a little bit more challenging. So they, for example, they have a camera here that takes pictures of the front of the eye. Obviously, I knew those existed. I did not have experience with that before. And so that's kind of, you know, just having the patient, you know, sit tight with me while I try and learn, you know, on their actual eye while we're trying to learn how to do that together and actually doing it. But yeah, they're all relatively similar instruments. And again, you hear about it from colleagues that may own this or that and learning how to use it and how they use it in their practice. So.
And the software too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. That's, yeah. Talk to Jason about the IT stuff and the software. Yeah. Loves that.
I know that iHealth Solutions has patients from all over the county mm-hmm. and beyond. Is there anything that you'd like to share with them today?
You know, I just hope that I can, you know, that they can understand that I want nothing but their best interests, you know, when I do my exams and when I see them, and I want to, you know, work just as hard as Dr. Jason and Dr. Lilly to, you know, emphasize eye health. You know, it's not just about buying a pair of glasses, and, you know, we really care about you as a whole person. And I like to think that, you know, I treat people like I would, you know, my mom, my sister, my child. You know, I'm making recommendations and keeping that always in my mind. And so hopefully I just treat people the way that I would want to be treated. And hopefully patients are receptive of that. And yeah, I love being in a small community, and I grew up in a small community, so I kind of understand where these people are coming from.
Thanks to Dr. Rachel Brown for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.